I've talked to everybody about having their stuff. Yeah, we're going to talk to Miss Kay. We got a couple of changes. Do have a guest speaker. It's a surprise. But I couldn't help. When I got home last Sunday, I really didn't remember a whole lot of what had happened. I remember the people coming down, but as far as the message goes, I kind of drew a little blank. Couldn't really remember a whole lot of what I said and stuff. And that happens from time to time, especially when we pray that the Holy Spirit takes over and gives me the words, and He does. And sometimes I'm just a tool. That's all I am. I'm just a vessel. That's it. So this morning, what the Holy Spirit did last week through Tad, Chad, Dwayne, Martha Kay, was really special. And it was on a scripture out of James, and I told y'all a little bit, James, half-brother of Jesus, we know that he was a skeptic at first, and we know that something happened, or you know, but he came to accept Christ. Well, when you flip over one more page, maybe a few more pages, he's after 3 John, but you get to the book of the Epistle of Jude. Now, this might be hard to find, but let me make it real easy. Go to Revelation and flip back till you see Jude, okay? That's about as easy as I can get it for you. It is one chapter. This is also a half-brother of James. A brother of James, in Mark, if you go to Mark 6, 1 through 6, the name Judas is mentioned in there. Also, it could have been Jude. So we could have, a lot of theologians think that this was a half-brother too. This was a product of Mary and Joseph. But several things jumped out to me. Now, when we talk about today's scripture and we talk about today's lesson, we are talking about, I hate to say this, but I'm talking about people who have rededicated their lives, people who have known the Lord and what God's done in their lives. This message is for you today, okay? So that pretty much pertains to all of us sitting in God's house today, that we are all God's people and we draw comfort is what we do from Christ. So what I would like to do is I want to open up with Jude 1 and 2 is where I want to start at right there. And I've got 6 points that I found out of this one chapter, out of these 25 verses. 6 points today, and you go, man, that's a lot. But I'm telling you, when we get down to it, you're going to see the same thing I see. So let's open up today. Is it good to be in the Lord? Is it good to be in God's house this morning? Say amen. Amen. Is it good to be in God's house this morning? Say amen. Amen. Get fired up, because I watched Rocky yesterday, so I'm feeling it. You know, that movie gets me hyped up. I watched him beat the Russian. That made me feel better. I'm ready. So I'm a little fired up this morning. I'm trying to calm down, but I don't think I am today. I think I'm just going to let it fly and y'all take it as it is. All right, Jude 1 and 2. Let's open up right there. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, to those who have been called, who are loved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ. Look at what he says right there in 2. He says, mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance, is the word he uses. Mercy, peace, and love to those who have been called. Let's pray. Father God, as we come, Lord, to these next few minutes, God, Lord, this is your house, dear God. And Lord, I am just help me to be the vessel, Father God. Speak through me, dear God, your word, Lord, to anybody in here who might be hurting this morning, who have brought in extra baggage, whatever that case may be, God. I pray, Lord, that they leave it here, that they, Father, turn, make it have a heart change, that they turn from sin and self, God, that they turn towards you, dear God. Find the faith, Father God, to do exactly that. We see, Father God, what the example that Jude gives us, God, and what he calls us to be, and how he asks us to be careful. Look out for these things. We're seeing them. We see them so many years ago, but God, we still see them in our time today. God, that, Lord, there are people around us, Father God, that want to separate us from Christ. God, I pray, Lord, that you, dear Lord, give us wisdom, give us courage, give us grace, give us mercy, give us everything that we need, Father God, to portray you, dear Lord, in our everyday lives, God. Help us to be your hands and feet as you have called us to be in an oh-so-fallen world. God, be with us over these next few minutes. Lord, we love you and we thank you. These things I ask in your name. Amen. I cannot help but point number one. Let's jump right into this. Jude says, to those who have been called, set apart, sanctified. So you know who he's talking to. He's talking to the brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. Is what he's doing. He's telling you right there, to those who have been called, who are loved in God and Father and kept for Jesus Christ. The question for you today is, we see Jude has had a heart change over the years. We see the epistle that him and his brother James wrote, and we draw strength from them. But let me ask you a question today. Are you set apart in your Christian walk? Are you set apart? Believe it or not, someone was sharing their testimony with me this week. And they said, if you could imagine yourself with Jesus, would he be doing the same things you were doing? Sitting across from one another. Oh, that's good. Oh, that's powerful. You think about that. So when a lot of times we ask ourselves, oh, that'll be okay. Oh, I'm going to let that slide. A lot of times, though, would we let it slide in front of Jesus, or would we not do it in the first place? Jude calls us, he tells us that you are called, that you need to be set apart, that you need to be sanctified in what you do, that there is a difference when Christ has called you into the heavenly realm, when Christ has called you to be his disciple, to be his hands and feet. You are called for that very purpose. You are called to do just that, to be a shining light on a hill. Amen? Exactly. Look at what Jude says in verse 3 right there. He says, "Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt compelled to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to God's holy people." Jude says right there too, point number two, he says, to contend for the faith. He's telling them to strive for it, to fight for it. Why? Look at what verse 4 says. He says, "For certain individuals whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They're ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ is our only sovereign and Lord." Jesus Christ is our only Lord. Period. That's it. When you go to look at your relationship and your list of priorities, Christ, number one. Number one. There's nothing else. Number one, that's it. That's where he's at. That's your numero uno in your life. When he is the head, everything else will fall into place. Does that make sense? I hope it does. I hope I'm right on point here. He says, but when we look at verse 4, we see ungodly people have made their way into the church. He goes on to say in 5 through 16 right there, he talks about it. He says, he even references back to Sodom and Gomorrah. He says, the ungodly people, they pollute their own bodies. They reject authority. He's describing them as what he's doing. 11 says, woe to them. They have taken the way of Cain. 12 says, these people are blemishes eating with you, the slightest qualms, shepherds. It's troublemakers is what it is. Do you have any troublemakers in your life today? You know you do, amen. And you go, Lord, I've been praying for them. Amen, you should pray for them. You need to pray for them. But a lot of times too, you have to stand your ground. You've got to, you can't back down. Because when you fall into the same trap of what they're doing, then you've done the same thing. If Jesus was sitting across from you, this analogy was so strong to me that I just pondered it this week. And I thought about everything, and it made me think about my language, and it made me think about how I use my words and how I exemplify myself when I'm outside of these walls. I hope this thing's on, Patsy. But you get what I'm saying. Now, Taylor Swift, y'all remember her? She had an awesome song in 2015 called Shake It Off. Y'all remember that? Yeah. And a hater's gonna hate. Haters are gonna hate. I'm not gonna sing it, Chris. Calm down. Although, y'all know y'all all wanna see a song and dance from me. I'm not gonna do it. I might get my sister up here to do it. No, not me. I'm not. That'd just be too bad. I wouldn't recover. But in that song, when she's talking about the baker's gonna bake, and the hater's gonna hate. Sometimes we have to remember that in our lives too, that people who haven't accepted Christ are not at the same place that you are in your walks. Amen. They're not. And a lot of times when you think about it, it goes back to who we surround ourselves with. Jude talks about that in the later. But look at what he says in verse 16 right there. He says, these people are grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage. They're all caught up in their self. And when you look to your walk and your Christian walk, you turn from sin and self. You turn towards Jesus. We just follow Him. He gives us the example of what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to live, to show compassion, love, mercy, all those things, but we do it every day. Yes, you will mess up. That's okay. But if God gives you another chance, make it right. Make it right. He goes on to say down there, Jude reminds us, look at 17 and 18. Let's move right there. A call to persevere. But dear friends, look at what he says. But dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times, there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desire. A scoffer right there. Not really a, I would call a big word or a complicated word, but it is someone who mocks you or makes fun of you. That's what it is. It's someone who doesn't understand. Jude points it right out in his book. He says, pay attention, be aware, because scoffers will try to drag you away. The best thing I can tell you is, do not let anybody ever divide you. Do not let them separate you. Jesus talks about that in Mark 6 when he lists his family and then he starts sending the disciples out and he tells them to be careful. And he tells them, if you stay in the house, it's welcome there. Put your blessing on it. But anybody who rejects the word, knock the dust off your sandals and keep moving. Amen. That's it. Because that's what, because sometimes, is it going to do you to try to sit there and argue? No. All you're doing is falling more into the devil's trap and he's laughing. I hate to be all Baptist on you, but that's what I am. That's what I'm getting at. That we have to be careful. Jude says, don't be divided, is his point three. Don't be divided. Don't let anyone get in your relationship, in the way of your relationship with Christ, because this is our number one priority. Hey, look at what he goes on to say right there. These, 19 says, these are the people who will divide you. They're going to divide you, who will follow their mere natural instincts and do not have the Holy Spirit. They do not have it. Oh. When I honestly said to those, 8 baptismals next week is wow in my book. I'm wondering if I'm going to need to drop some chlorine in the pool. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Okay, but I'm excited about it. I'm pumped about it. I hope the water stays warm. I really don't care if the water is warm or cold, to be honest. I'm just going to be excited to be in. We can't cannonball in it. We proved that. It makes a big splash. Everybody got mad. But when we talk about baptizing 8, when we talk about, we see the Holy Spirit moving in our church is what I'm getting at. But if we keep our eyes on Christ, we ain't going to let the haters divide us. We're going to stay right focused on our sovereign Lord and Jesus. We're going to keep praying for those people who need praying for. And we're going to keep lifting it up to God every morning. And we're going to thank Jesus Christ for every day he gives us on this earth. You're going to shine that light is what you're going to do. You ain't going to keep it hidden under a bucket. You're going to pull that thing out and you're going to shine it in the air. You go through your everyday walk when you're not here, when you're at work in front of everybody else, and when it means the most, you're going to watch your tongue. You're going to be set apart. You will be set apart. All you have to do is get your mind right with it. And that comes through prayer. That comes through talking to God and asking him to help you. That's exactly where it comes from. God, give me your words today. God, give me your patience. Lord, you know these people. You know they're rough. God, help me. There's nothing wrong with that prayer. He knows your situation. He knows your circumstances. He knows what's going on. He knows you personally. But I don't think we give him the credit for it half the time. I think we feel like we're more stranded on the ship by ourselves on the island. And we're down here and nobody gets it. He, God, gets it. He's got you. His hand is right there with you. Look at what he says right there. Oh, we only halfway through this. 20 says, but you, dear friends, by building yourselves up, this is Jude talking, okay? But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. How do you build yourself up in the most holy faith? If you're able to flip 2 Peter, Martha, 2 Peter chapter 1, 3 through 11. Can you do that? You just got to flip a couple of pages back, to be honest with you. I mean, it's right there, right past the John right there. And you're going to get into 2 Peter right there. There we go. Look at what verse 3 says. But let's read through this now. We just heard what Jude said, the most holy faith. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Write it down and go back and read it later. But his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them, Peter says, they're nearsighted, they're blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. So when Jude, flip back over to Jude, just a couple of pages, that's the worst I'm going to make you do today, is swap this there. Look at what he says right there. Let's reread 20. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. That is what he says. Look at what happens. Let's look at what Peter said. Add to your faith goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, love. That is what Peter says to add to your faith daily. Daily. That's what Jude's talking about right there. When he says, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm going to tell you something. That was just a God thing this morning, because I didn't know Miss Penny Tatum was going to be here. But I knew that by talking to her family this past week and putting her on the prayer chain that she needed prayer. So when she shows up the Sunday before, she is fixing to have a procedure this week, that tells me that it's on her mind and that she might be a little nervous. And when you get to come down here and we get to lay hands on, as a group, as a church, as God's people, all together, we all become one. Because we are building blocks upon one another. Brother Alvin, Miss Theresa, they're more of, Brother Greg, Jan, there's a lot of the older ones in here, the older adults, they are the ground floor of the building blocks. They've been built upon one by one. That was not meant to be mean. That was not meant to be mean, I promise. That was a compliment. Yeah, that was a compliment, I promise. Compliment. But you get what I'm saying? It's been the one upon the others that we build up and we're able to come. We're still building the wall. We're still building towards Christ. That's what I'm getting at. That's what Jude's telling you right here. He said, go back, look at the points real quick. He says, are you set apart? He says, you got to contend for your faith. He says, don't be divided. He says, keep yourself in God's love. What does 1 John 4:16 through 17 say, Martha? Pop it up there. Come on. I'm rolling here. I gave it to him beforehand. And so we know and rely on the love of God, and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. So whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them is what he tells us. I can back it up right there, because Jude says the same thing right there in 21. He says, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. So he's told us that when you have your most holy faith and you're praying in the Holy Spirit, you keep yourself in God's love right there. 22 and 23, he doesn't leave this out, and I love how he does it. He says, be merciful to those who doubt. What is another? Merciful is a big word. Have compassion to those who doubt. Yes, be the example God has called you to be, but don't you let that person who is not a follower of Christ bring you down. Don't let them separate you from Jesus. You can pray for that person. You can pray that they'll have a heart change, whatever the case they may be, but please don't let them take away from your walk. Don't leave out of here on Sunday fired up, and by Friday, everything's falling apart. Keep, contend, fight for, strive for, stay in God's word. Exactly where we're supposed to be. Last thing he says right there, he says, be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others, show mercy, mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. He says, be careful, don't get yourself drugged back in. And you know what the sixth thing is today? Number five was, Jude says, to be merciful to those. Show compassion. But number six, Jude says, praise him. He has a doxology right there, which a doxology is just a praise to God. He says, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present yourself, to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Jude says, praise him, praise him, praise him in all things that you do, in all things. Let's close today. Father,